Arizona?
Yes, sir. Yes. Hello. Okay. Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what is your name?
Hello?
What is your name, sir?
My name is Angel.
No, no, that's not right either. Mr. Valenzuela, Mr. Quinones is going to be conducting a hearing, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Valenzuela, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Angel Valenzuela, 099139.
Well, good afternoon, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on May 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, before we go any further, I need to acknowledge that you gave us a list of people wishing to speak on your behalf. And while this board is going to recognize your due process rights, that there's just simply too many people on this list for us to technically patch into a phone call. So,
yes, sir.
You have two supporters in the room. Is there anybody, are there any three people, because that's about as much as we can handle, on this list that you want us to try to patch into this hearing?
Yes, sir. One would be my aunt, Frida, and Anita Nunez. Also, my daughter, Priscilla.
Anita Nunez?
And, yes.
Okay, that's three. So it's Frida, Anita Nunez, and your daughter Priscilla.
Yes.
Okay, sir, I want you to stand by. I'm going to try to make contact with those. I'm going to go to Priscilla, your daughter, first, then Frida, and then Anita Nunez. So stand by, okay, while I try to connect them on the line.
Yes, sir.
Valenzuela, this will take just a few extra minutes here for us to see if we can get everything patched in. It's a little bit complicated. Also, just so that you know, sir, while we're waiting, we allow to
friends. Hello, may we speak in the room to Priscilla, please?
Oh,
Priscilla?
Oh,
you got the wrong number.
434-306.
3046. Yes, 3046.
Yeah,
you know, and I called Johnny, the brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
434-3046. So this is the same number for Johnny. Johnny, you are Angel Valenzuela's brother. We're trying to get a hold of Priscilla, but the numbers for Priscilla and yourself are the same. Is there a different number for Priscilla?
Oh, shit. I don't know it. I have to ask around if I can get it real quick.
Okay, well, someone's here that has that number for it. So, Mr. Valenzuela has a long list of people that he actually would like for us to call, and we're only going to be able to call three of them. So, he wanted us to call his daughter Priscilla, his aunt Frida, and his immediate movements. So I'm going to hang up, sir, and try to get a hold to those three, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Actually, Anita and Frida, I got a hold of them, and they're able to accept the phone call,
okay.
And I have the
daughter's
phone number.
Okay, come up here to the mic. I just need to, what is the daughter's phone number?
It is 602-521-2800.
That's Priscilla's phone number.
602-521-2835?
Yes.
Okay. All righty, thank you. Priscilla?
Yes, this is she.
Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understand you're going to be involved in the hearing with Angel Valenzuela.
Yes.
Okay. We have to connect two more people to the phone. If you would just stand by, we have to connect two other people to the phone, okay?
Okay.
Priscilla, are you still on the line? Priscilla, are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. We're calling for Anita Nunez. If you could give us a call back at 602-542-5656. Thank you.
Okay, what's the other number, ma'am?
It's 480-349-0642.
Say that number again.
Oh, it's transposed. They have 49. It's 349-0612.
349-0612?
480, yes. 480.
Okay, let me try that again. Priscilla, what is your last name? I'm sorry to keep calling you Priscilla, but that's all they have on here.
Valenzuela.
Valenzuela, okay. So Ms. Valenzuela, just hang on. We're going to try to make the connection. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand you wanted to take part in the hearing for Angel Valenzuela.
Take part?
Yes, ma'am.
I thought that was today.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We're calling you now.
Okay, fine.
Okay, could you
sure, I would.
Okay, we got to make one more phone call. Please stand by, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Valenzuela, Ms. Priscilla Valenzuela, you still on?
Yes.
Ms. Anita Nunez, you on?
Yes.
If the two of you will stand by, we have to make one other connection, okay?
All right.
Thank you. read it, please.
Mr.
Bush, thank you. Hi, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and
yes.
I understand you wanted to participate in the hearing for Angel Valenzuela.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Ms. Fiedler,
I do, I mean.
what is your last name?
My name is Akira Valenzuela Velasco.
Okay, Valenzuela. Okay, I didn't want to keep calling you for years.
I'm going to ask. Okay. Yes, okay.
Stand by for 1 minute.
Sorry.
Okay, Ms. Valenzuela, Priscilla, you still on the line?
Yes.
Ms. Frida Valenzuela, you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Ms. Anita Nunes, you still on the line?
I am.
Okay, Mr. Luis Quinones will be conducting the hearing. He'll be the next voice you hear, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, Mr. Valenzuela, I just want to make sure we're clear on this. We do have other hearings that we need to conduct today, and as I stated earlier, we are absolutely going to respect your due process, but we would like to keep things moving people can say what they need to say, but we do need to kind of get through this hearing. So I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, at the bench, we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center, we have our acting board chairman, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And my name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear everyone in, and that includes the people in the hearing room, the people on the telephone, you, Mr. Valenzuela, and our community corrections officer. So I'll just kind of go around the room and the telephone, but let me start it this way. Mr. Valenzuela, beginning with you, and then I'll ask everyone else, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I hope no one is offended if I use first names to move it along, but Priscilla, Frida, and Anita, you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
I do that. Thank you.
Okay, and two visitors in the room, if you can state your names.
Anita Nunez, are you?
And?
Aaliyah Soak.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
I do.
Okay, and Mr. Turner?
I do.
Okay, I think that's everybody. Okay, back to you, Mr. Valenzuela. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. You're reminded that there is a vote that passes from phase one to phase two, so do not be alarmed at that stage of the hearing. It does not, it doesn't end our hearing at that point. Okay, it passes from phase one to phase two. So when I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they're true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take over testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Valenzuela, I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the Cooperation Company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on March 5th, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated April 13, 2018. Mr. Valenzuela, is this true or false?
It's partly true, yes. I did fail to give a urine, but I did go to task, and I wasn't able to urinate.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution for testing on March 30, 2018 for the task lab report dated March 31st, 2018. Mr. Valenzuela, is this true or false?
I don't really know what they mean by dilution, because where I work at, we get a lot of water. Even the owner of the company has machines that give us bottled water every day, because that. It's very hot. There's ovens in there, and I do drink a lot of water as well as soda.
I'm certainly not trying to back into a corner, but is it possible that you drank too much water that day and it affected your test?
Yes, it might have been really intentional.
Okay. Am I stating true or false?
Yes, it's true. I drink a lot of water every day during the whole week as I work.
Okay. Thank you. And violation of condition number, allegation number 3, condition number 7, was demonstrated by use of methamphetamine on April 2nd, 2018, for the task LCMS lab report dated April 5th, 2018. Mr. Valenzuela, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Now, this is what I spoke of. We're going to vote to pass from phase 1 to phase 2, so don't be alarmed. You'll have a chance to speak to the board in the second phase of the hearing. But based on Mr. Valenzuela's admission, I'm going to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Just 1 second, Mr. Valenzuela.
This pink sheet.
This black. This pink sheet. Just 1 second, Mr. Bonds, while it's just an administrative issue. Okay, Mr. Bonds. Just 1 second, sir.
Yes, sir.
And then seconded by Mr. Johnson. Agreed upon by Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Bonds, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Mr. Valenzuela was released from custody on 9-20-2017, arrested on 4-11-2018 by ABC on his tech warrant. No new charges. Returned back to ABC custody on 4-11-2018 with a CSCD at 5-21-2019, zero abscond days. Current convictions, 2009, commitment I count 1, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2009, commitment I, count 3, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. 2009, commitment J, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 10 years. Prior convictions, 1993, commitment A, count 1, burglary second degree, 5 years. 1993, commitment B, count 2, marijuana violation, 1 year, 6 months. 1997, commitment C, count 1, marijuana violation, 2 years, 6 months. 1997, commitment D, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 1997, commitment E, count 1, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2001, commitment F, count 1, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2003, commitment G, count 1, misconduct involving weapons, 4 years, 6 months. 2003, commitment H, count 1, dangerous drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. This is his fifth term in ABC. He has a CUIR score of 3-3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score is 3. STD information, suspected New Mexico Mafia of Arizona, self-admitted to be involved with the criminal street gang Southside Posse. Prior terms of supervision, 1996, home arrest, release, arrested on new charges revoked by BOEC. 1999, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by BOEC. 2002, TIS release, completed 2 months. 2006, TIS release, arrested on a tech violation, reinstated, absconded for 26 days, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary significant and lengthy with drugs, possession of contraband, and fighting noted. There are other arrests, but there was no charges ever filed. His GB score is G6B7.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Valenzuela. I'm going to try to make a quick review in case of revision summary. I recognize that you were released in September 2017, so there was some time that you were supervised by a community revision officer, which was with me. Account for a fair amount of notes. I'll begin by saying that you were released from the Department of Corrections with the approved residence at 6246 West Pueblo, Phoenix, Arizona, with Lieutenant Martin. In January 2018, parole officers attempted to conduct a compliance check at your residence. Your sponsor, Academy, advised officers that you haven't been residing for over a month. On January 25th, 2018, CCO Murray received verbal consent from Anthony with Phoenix Oasis. And that you have been seen living at 2843 West Almeria, in Phoenix. Yes, yeah, is that where you lived until you arrested, sir?
Yes, sir.
And where were you working when you were on committee supervision?
Yes, sir. I've been working there. That's where I've been working. I actually left work an hour early to go because the officer called me and told me to be in that day. So I left an hour early from work and waited to see her at the day of my arrest.
Okay, your programming notes have you with a lot of positive tests for THC. And I read your notes with some reference to like pain management. Did you get a medical marijuana card?
No, sir. I was not allowed to until my test results came back negative. So when she told me to stop, I stopped so that my levels went down until I was negative. But I did stop when she asked me to, but even though I did stop, and my levels were dropping, every time I did take a UA, it still came back positive, but at a lower level. And she told me that I couldn't apply for my card until after I was completely negative of that.
Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, there's quite a bit of information in here, but I'm going to cut to the chase, so to speak. It looks like that you had a positive for methamphetamine, so how did you get involved with methamphetamine when you were on community supervision? Something, but we're getting some interference on the phone, so please make sure that you're either on mute or don't have any background sounds because it interrupts the hearing. Thank you. Sir, I'm going to, again, you have a full page of sanction notes, but we'll just come to the end here. It says on April 11, 2018, report to the Office for Staffing with P.S. Fleshman and P.O. Murray. With your positive for methamphetamine, you claim that you did not use methamphetamine and told P.S. Fleshman that the positive UA for amphetamine was for a butyrol inhaler, pardon me. You're given multiple opportunities to admit that you used methamphetamine on or about April 2nd, 2018. You continue to deny meth use. You have multiple violations to include four positive UAs for THC. Some of this would signify new uses. You have a total of seven positive for THC, two diluted UAs, one missed, one positive for meth, one UA that was not accepted for being 85 degrees. and programming, or you have been programming with CHC, which have been sanctioned by MRC. So, Mr. Valenzuela, I like to think of myself as very fair and reasonable. I certainly don't take pleasure in revoking individuals or not granting parole. I have to look at the totality of the case and make hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. But I got to ask you, why would you use methamphetamine with so much of your freedom at stake? It sounds like you have family, you have support, you are working, you submitted pay stubs, I saw that. That means a lot, by the way. When someone's out there and they're working and trying to be productive, I certainly find that meaningful as a parole board member. But I'm struggling here with the ongoing marijuana use and the use of methamphetamine with your freedom being at stake, let alone that methamphetamine is a dangerous drug.
Yes, sir. That, I'm not going to, I don't want to sit here and try to play judge at you and lie to you or anything like that, because this is your job, and I know you see hundreds of us every day, and the truth is, I made a mistake that one time, and I just, it won't happen ever again, I've done quite a bit of time over the years, and when you get put back into the, I'm not trying to make this sound as an excuse, but it's the truth. It takes time for us to readjust to being in another world. Walking in circles, my life is on pause in here. Life goes on out there in the streets, and it's easy to just sit in here and lay on your rack and do time and, ego free and have, it's not so easy out there in the world. You have to work, you have to get up every morning and make sure you're at work on time and pay those bills and, that's the real world, And it was taking me a little bit of time, but, I was so used to living a different life in the past, and I just couldn't stand up with having to do this all my life that I wanted to change, so, if you look back on my back history, I never worked, I never paid any of my bills, I never took care of child support, I never did any of that. But this time, it was time for a change, and it's just, I'm only human, I'm learning to live in a world, in a society that, is not going to accept criminal activity. I don't want that in my life. I stay away from all that, And I just happened to run into somebody that I knew from the past. I made that mistake that one time, and it didn't dawn on me. It was a mistake.
Well, sir, I appreciate what you're saying. As you stated, we do listen to a lot of cases, and the pattern that we see over and over again is that people get reappointed with bad influence, and they slip up very quickly. I just want that to be a learning point. I want to talk down to you. I'm just telling you it's worth sharing. When you talk to counselors, and they talk about the importance of the people that you associate with, it's very, very serious, because you can almost, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but almost set your watch to it, that the minute people get back around that influence, it's just, the temptation's too great. I suppose, I'll just be straight with you, I like beer, And if I was told I couldn't drink beer anymore, and I was continuing to hang around people who were drinking beer, I'd probably start drinking beer again. It's just human nature. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I've got questions from fellow board members. Mr. Valenzuela, you have five different people that are here to support you. So I'm going to give them a chance to speak on your behalf. I'm going to begin with the individuals that are inside the hearing room right now. And again, was it just one or both of you speaking? Just one? Okay. If you'll come to the podium, if you can step up to the microphone. And pardon me, I didn't realize that you had some physical. Are you okay?
Yes. Yes, I would just like to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry, if you can state your name and if you can speak clearly, because we got to get it on the recording.
Gina Lamarillo.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I've known Angel for about 11 years, and I'd just like to say that in this past 6 months that we've been together, he's really made a change from before. And he's been working this whole time, and he's been going to his classes, and he's really been trying hard, and I just think that he deserves another chance, and you know, he needs help, I guess, and I'm here for him. I have family that are also willing to support him, and his family is there for him too, and I think that he's a changed man, and he can prove it to you guys if you give him another chance.
Thank you, ma'am. Do you have anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. Any questions from fellow board members?
I also have a couple more letters from if I can give
it to you guys. Are you going to give them to the board? Because if you do, they're going to stay with his case file?
That's fine.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anything else? Thank you for attending before the board today. Okay, I'm going to now go to the people on the telephone. I'm just going to go in the order that we have them, that we call. So I'll begin with Ms. Priscila Valenzuela. Are you on the phone, sir?
Priscila Valenzuela?
Yes.
This is she.
Okay, if you can state your name for the record.
This is Priscila Valenzuela.
And what would you like to show the board today?
Well, the first thing that I'd like to say about my father is, in my eyes, my opinion, the man that I know, he's an amazing man. He's a great man. He's a smart man. And he's very bold. And he's strong, and he's brave, and he's the most important person in the world to me. And I know that he's gotten in trouble a lot throughout the years of his life, but my personal opinion, I don't feel that those choices and the things that he's gone through and that he's done in his life was because he wanted to be a bad guy, he wanted to be a bad person, and he wanted to, you know, do all these things that it's plain to everybody else to see that, oh, he's a criminal. But, I mean, growing up the way that he did, majority of the time, I think he pretty much raised himself. And somebody as a young child who didn't really have that much support, that much guidance, kind of just bingo around and trying to figure it out on their own. And he went about it the wrong way as a young man and growing older. I think every time he got in trouble, I think every time that was a lesson that he needed to have learned. And I think the best lesson that he got out of all this got taken away from him, I believe, being taken away from me and my brothers and my sisters is what was probably the best lesson that he could have ever gotten. Because he not only did he miss out on life in the world, he missed out on watching us grow. He missed out on birthdays, he missed out on holidays. Every season, every holiday, he spent it in there instead of out here where he belongs with me. and my mother and my brother and my sister. And you know what I think? I think the streets might miss him, but they don't miss him as much as I do. And all I want is for you guys to give him a solid chance to really prove himself, because I think it's time for him. He's old. Let's just say that plain and simple. He's old, and it's time for him to let that life go and really, really apply himself the way that he should have many, many years ago. And I can tell you firsthand that he's very capable. If he puts his heart to it, he's very capable. And Daddy, if you really don't want to lose the family you have left, listen to me when I tell you, please. Just follow the rules. Just listen. And that me and our family, we will always be here to support him. Because he has lots of family members that are here to support him. And I really, really hope that whatever you guys ask of him to do, that it will be applied accordingly and that everything will go well at the end of the day.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? Okay, thank you. I have no questions from fellow board members. Ms. Valenzuela, thank you for I have some follow-up information from my community directors office. Yes, Mr. Turner.
I know that it's long-winded. I've been reading through the notes, and I'll keep it short, so I'll just give synopsis of some of the behavior. On 120 of 18, the staff attempted to do a compliance check at his approved residence, and have been informed by the sponsor that he had not been there approximately 30 days. We've never notified his PO of that. He did make contact with her a couple days later, and he was approved to live somewhere else. CAC programming classes, he was discharged from the class three different occasions for failure to attend. And as far as the UAs, the diluted UAs, they are directed upon the initial intake not to drink more than 16 to 20 ounces of water. And when they do get a diluted, they are fined, and when they're directed to go resubmit.
Thank you, Mr. Turner, and just for the record, I'm certainly not being dismissive of anything that was captured by the federal officers, but thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Ms. Frida Valenzuela, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, Ms. Valenzuela, can you state your full name for the recorded record?
It's Elfrida Valenzuela Velasquez.
And what would you like to show the board today, ma'am?
Well, Angel has had a very hard life, very hard upbringing, like his daughter said. And everything that she said is correct in the sense that he has been in and out of trouble, but this time when he came home, I noticed that he and I bonded again, because we were at odds when he left last time. And when he came home this time, he came in and apologized, and he just went to everyone that he had either hurt or taken stuff from, and he just apologized to everybody and tried to redo his life the right way to be out there for his children. Children, like she said, grew up without him. They're already grown adults and headed in their own way, and he wants to be there for them at this point in time. It's better late than never. And he has been, I've never noticed any fault as far as drug usage, because I'm real anti-drug myself. I'm the oldest sister in the whole family. And I've never noticed that since he came home. Now it sounds like he did do a lot of that, but I've never seen that. I saw a more mature adult, a person that was more settled. He's getting 90 years, and, you know, he's done all this stuff. I just heard you read all his history and all that, and it's really hard for him, too, and he's trying to come back and do better for his family. And if you guys could see a way clear to giving him another opportunity to become a law-abiding citizen and be straight with everyone, his family, his children, and most importantly, society. Stay away from going in and out. Him and I have had loud talks on that. And he just sounded so sincere to me that I truly, truly believe that he is trying to make a turnaround. And just to let him know that I love him very much, and I will be there for him anything he needs. He knows that. And so, having said that, I won't waste any more of your time, because I think that Priscilla said just about I think that she was so thorough in everything that she said. And so, having said that, thank you for listening to me, and please take everything into consideration on his behalf, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Valenzuela. I'm going to move along to Ms. Anita Nunez. Oh, I'm sorry. Any questions from fellow board members? Thank you. I'm going to move along to Ms. Anita Nunez on the phone. Ms. Nunez?
I'm here.
If you can state again your full name for the record.
Okay. My name is Anita Nunez. I'm the aunt of Gina Villarreal, who resides with me. And as I stated in my letter, I'm an elder in my community. My niece is with me. She takes care of me like I take care of her. And in so our lives intertwined, I have met Angel through her. And since he was released, he's become closer. And we have accepted him as part of the family because of Gina, because we love her and we care about her. And if we didn't have a kind of a trust or a feeling of insecurity, then he would have been long gone by now. And so as much as I've seen of him, I've only seen him be released. I've seen him make effort to get a job, to hold a job, to make things better for Gina so that she's more independent. He worked on her car. He has paid for shots for her dog. And he has made her happy in his relationship with her. I think that that's come to him as well. And as I've heard, I don't know his daughter or any of his kids. I never met his sister. But I do know that he has made an effort to be part of their life. And I know that in the situation that he's in, he feels an intruder because he wasn't there. There's guilt. There's a remorse. And I think he's trying to own up to all of that. And in that, it is trying. I know how long he's been incarcerated. I know how long he's been free. And I know that there's a lot of rules and regulations. And I know that a new job and transportation being hard, the price of gas, the price of food, what it costs to be in a halfway house, all these things I'm pointing out because I want those to be considered as well. And I know that he has a loving family because he told me so himself. He's proud of his heritage, his parents, and his sisters and brothers and his kids, cousins, nephews, nieces. And he's told us a little bit about them and telling us about himself. And he's opened up to us, and we're accepting to him being part of our family as well as his own. So I encourage you to take all of those things into consideration. I know from experience, because I've married somebody that was incarcerated, what the downfalls are, what challenges they have, and what importance it is for them to have family and loved ones behind them to support them and encourage them. Pray for them and pray with them. And like I said, the main thing in my mind is my happiness and Gina's. For her, for me, for her independence. And Angel has proved himself on that for very highly in my eyes. So I just want to back him up and let him know how much it is for me to know that he cares about Gina and he puts her in a priority list alongside with some of the other things that I've mentioned. However, he has had a downfall in what I've heard. I never heard his history. I'm kind of shocked at some of the things that you've brought to my attention about it. But the man that I saw and have gotten to know is not that man. And I would never have imagined some of the things that you've said about him. And it's just shocking to me that this is his history. I appreciate your time. I want you to know that my brother is lost. He's a working man. He was not able to participate, but he has the same ideas about Angel that I do.
I appreciate that, ma'am.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for, we say a prayer before the board, but for being on the telephone today. Do I have any questions from any fellow board members?
No.
Okay, any more questions from fellow board members? Mr. Valenzuela, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. We've heard quite a bit of information already, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that is important for the board to know or understand?
Yes, there might have been something else about, you know, how I said that, you know, it takes time for us to adjust in the world. You know, that most of the people that I've known throughout my life were criminals. And if I had just somebody that I can, like a sponsor, an AA sponsor that I could just call and talk to at times that I feel like I'm gonna, you know, have one of those relapses like they did that one time, they can help talk me through it, you know what I mean? You know, because it just doesn't have to do with this. Doing that one time, you know, I mean, there's other things that I like to express, you know, to somebody, another man that's not has the mentality of a criminal, you know what I mean? Man, I've lived my whole life, like I said, you know, not really knowing what I want out of life, you know, and I continue to do the same things over and over and repeat it, and, you know, it took me all these years to realize that. You know, the tough guys aren't in here in prison. The tough guys are out there getting up every morning going to work, taking care of their responsibilities, paying their bills, and making a difference in somebody else's life other than their own. And I never really realized that. And, you know, all these years I've denied myself from being the man that, you know, I should have been, you know. And the man I want to be, you know, like my father, for instance, he's never been in trouble a day in his life. He's a retired sergeant for the Marine Corps. He's been in the Marine Corps from 19 to he was 58 years old and retired fireman for 12 years. I always looked up to him, and instead of taking that path and following our fathers, I followed the wrong path. And I always thought that all the tough guys were criminals, prisoners. Those aren't the real tough guys. The real tough guys are the ones at work, you know. Sometimes the only way, you know, really for a man to discover his true path in life is to have courage in himself and trusting that power of that courage, you know, that lies within all of us. I mean, it's never too late to change the direction of your life. You know, if you can change the way you think, you can change your life. And it took me all these years to really even realize that. But I mean, I accept this
The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but as the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona, we do not discuss these cases before we walk into the hearing room, and we work very hard to maintain our independence and our detachment. But we do have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona. So if you just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'll begin by saying something unique. I'm actually disappointed for Mr. Valenzuela that he didn't follow in his father's footsteps. I think the Marine Corps probably would have been a good fit for him when he was young. He's a hardworking individual. Seems like a pretty tough individual, and sometimes that lifestyle really helps turn the corner for some people. But this is what we're confronted with. Now, this is a tough decision, and I'll tell you why. Because this isn't looking at us just the individual. This is me having to make those decisions, or to make that vote, if you will, on behalf of the people of Arizona. And the concern that I have is that Mr. Valenzuela, for at least 3 of his times under community supervision, had a tech violation. He absconded once on another tech violation. I think he had a return for a charge. He's open about his lifestyle up to this point, and I think he's being straight with us about his journey. It's just very hard to consider returning someone to community supervision when they've proven that they do not do well under community supervision. On the other hand, I don't want to dismiss anything that's been said by his family or him today. He may be very well at that point that we hope for when an individual is ready to turn the corner and make good with their life. And I think that in this last time, it's almost like he was halfway there. He was working. It seemed like he was trying to make things right with those around him. One of his family members had said that he didn't used to be on the best terms with her, but yet this was an individual that was standing up for him today. And I think that's meaningful, if not beautiful. But I still have the same concerns, and I think this would be a good time to open up the discussion with my colleagues. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Neal.
Well, there was a couple of themes today about Mr. Valenzuela, and one of them was to give him another chance, just with the drug testing alone, he had 8 chances, because he had 7 violations with marijuana and 1 with methamphetamine, and he was not violated until the methamphetamine violation came along. When you add in the 3 times he was discharged from the programs he was supposed to be doing, there's another 3 chances, because any one of those can be grounds for revocation. So, you know, just in that field alone, there's like 12 or 13 chances. But the other theme, and we hear it quite a bit, and I know it does affect people, but when I hear about how rough of a childhood somebody had, and that's the reason that they made the bad choices and everything, yeah, that's probably why they made the bad choices. But I think everybody in our society should read the book A Child Called It. And you read that and you get a whole new perspective on making choices after a bad childhood. So I am just not inclined to blame childhood for behaviors. And the behavior continued well into adulthood. So, but I'm just with the lack of consideration for the rules on the use of marijuana and then use of methamphetamine, I just had trouble trying to justify returning Mr. Vaughn's letter to the community supervision at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Johnson.
I'm going to have to say that I agree, but I'm going to tell you that I felt a very heartwarming plea from his daughter, asking him to just listen, and please follow the rules, and to do it for the family. And then she made the statement that if he wants to lose his family, then, you know, he will not follow the rules and do the things. I think that if Mr. Valenzuela cannot adhere to that strong, I feel it was a strong, heartwarming plea from his daughter to please try. She wrote a long letter. She did plead real hard for him to get his life together, for his family, for her kids, that they need him. And he has to make a decision as to whether he want to get his life together and move forward, or if he wants to stay in his life. But I tell you, the plea from the daughter really got me, as well as from the aunt, who said he needs to be straight with his family and himself. You know, they didn't plea or make any excuses for him as he has tried to do. But I just think that if he appears that he started out and may be ready to turn that corner, but if that plea from his daughter, along with his aunt, mainly the daughter, didn't touch him to turn his life around, then he's not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you, because of that, I am more sympathetic towards trying to give him the opportunity to fulfill the obligation to his daughter, to his kids. Daughter said for her, for her brother, for her mother, and her family. That just touches me that, you know, I hear a child reaching out for the assistance and the help of her father, pleading with him to get his life together to help them. And so I hope that Mr. Valenzuela heard the plea, because I surely heard it, but more for listening to the daughter's plea for a father to do right and listen and follow all the rules, and she's going to do everything to happen. She didn't make any excuses. She didn't lay any fault or blame on anyone else. She simply said that he needs to do right if he wants to turn his life around for his family, for her, and the kids. And I tell you, that touched me, and because of that, I am open to reinstatement with some very strict restrictions. And if he doesn't do it, then you know, he's not only let himself down, his family down, his daughter down, as well as this board.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. This is a tough one, especially because I hear absolutely what both of my colleagues are saying, and I think, as I stated earlier, we work very hard to be fair and detached. So I'm going to stick my neck out in only the way that a board member can stick their neck out. But I will tell you why I'm arriving here. Not only is what Mr. Johnson saying about family compelling, in the face, by the way, of an individual who has failed on community supervision numerous times and has fallen into bad company for the better part of his adult life, I think because we're looking at some issues of that are pretty specific to drugs and not a continuing life of violence, I'm willing to give him a chance. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And that is, I'm going to make a movement to return Mr. Valenzuela, Mr. Angel Valenzuela, ADC number 99139, to community supervision under the same conditions, but with some amended conditions as well, and what we can get into that, but that is my motion.
A second.
Disagree.
And that's understandable on both accounts. So secondly, by Mr. Johnson, and with profound respect to my colleague, Mr. Neal, disagree from me, we'll make sure I check the wrong box, right from me. And I will state on one second, continue on committee supervision with the same conditions, with amended conditions, and amended conditions must, I'm going to check, recommended placement and successful completion of program that offers substance abuse treatment, that goes without saying, must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that offers substance abuse treatment and treatment at the parole officer's discretion. And here comes the tough one, and that is for the parole officer to start medication upon first positive deleted list or unsuitable testing for or unexcused UA to include marijuana and alcohol, Mr. Valenzuela.
Yes, sir.
The challenge is on, and does anyone see anything different?
Could we add one condition on that, on the substance abuse, based on the record of Mr. Valenzuela's participation in those programs, that after 3 missed classes, revocation proceedings to be in?
Okay. Just one second. I'm going to make an asterisk. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, the board voted 2-1 in your favor, so to speak, to return you to community supervision under the same conditions with some amended conditions. I think you may have heard it, but we're recommending placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse treatment with revocation automatically after 3 missed classes. Must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that offers substance abuse treatment or a treatment program at the parole officer's discretion. And the important one, that the parole officer to start revocation process upon first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing in an unexcused UA. So let me be specific on this one. If there's some mechanism inside of our community supervision for medical marijuana card, do not get caught using marijuana before that's cleared through your parole officer, and that you have a medical marijuana card, because as far as we're concerned, you can't smoke marijuana at this point. So you're going to have to really shoot straight, or you're going to be before this board again, and I can't tell you how the board's going to vote, but I can tell you the board's probably not going to be very happy if you're before this board again. Now, you have a full year of the community supervision. That was one of the reasons why I look at this very strongly, because I recognize that's a long time, and we're giving you a chance really above and beyond. Some might not even agree with this decision, but we're going to give you a chance. You have a strong family, so we're going to wish you the best. So, that being stated, you've been returned to community supervision. You know what the challenge is. We wish you the best. We want to see you succeed out there, okay, sir?
Thank you.
I'm bringing this hearing to a close.
And Ms. Priscilla Valenzuela?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to say to you, you know what, I firmly heard your plea. And your plea to reach out for your dad to do the right thing and do what's right. I tell you, that touched me. And I hope that it touched your dad. And I hope that he fully taken in and understood what you said, but thank you for participating in the hearing today. And for those that are on the line, we're going to be disconnecting the line at this time.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.